And assalamu alaikum, everybody, and once again, a very warm welcome to the Arabic with Sam podcast. As promised, today we're going to run over, the discussion around gender in the Arabic language. And as I said, you know, in the previous podcast, I made it very clear that no matter your level, really, I think that these episodes will be accessible to you. So even if you've learnt about gender before, even if you have a bit of a background on what gender in the Arabic language is and what that means, hopefully you'll still benefit a little bit from this podcast. And those of you who have never even heard of languages having gender whatsoever, then also there'll be a lot to be gained for you guys too. So I suppose we'll begin by just saying the fact that in Arabic, there is no such thing really as gender neutral. And when we talk about things being gender, we're talking about nouns, adjectives, verbs. You know, words like prepositions, connectives and stuff like that, they can't have gender. So words like in doesn't have a gender. The word about doesn't have a gender. The word but or however, that they can't have genders. You know, they're not things. They're not in reference to people in any way. So those things don't have gender. And so in a way, those things are gender neutral in a way. But, in Arabic, the discussion about gender is really just a discussion of verbs, nouns, adjectives. And, nouns inherently have a gender. Verbs and adjectives, their gender is just depending on what they're talking about. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you use a verb, like, to eat, the verb eat in and of itself isn't masculine or feminine. It's just who you're using it for. And likewise with adjectives, right? Like, adjectives, they do express gender. You can see what gender thing they are describing. But obviously, as adjectives describe nouns, they just have to agree with a noun, right? And verbs usually have a subject. They have a doer. So really, the discussion of gender comes from nouns. You know, it's a discussion about what the gender of nouns are exactly is. But we'll run through all the details of all of that stuff, really. And obviously, one of the implications, I suppose, of one of the implications of having gender in a language is, as English speakers, obviously we perhaps think that that means that thing that has a gender is somehow girly or is somehow boy-y or is somehow like womanly or somehow manly. But that isn't the case at all, really, in Arabic. You know, things like a house is masculine, but a car is feminine. You know, it's not because it's more feminine or more masculine. It's literally just inherently in the grammar. It just happens to hold that gender. So, the reason why I mention that is because sometimes when we think about the word, like Allah, for example, like, obviously, we know that God, we know Allah is free of gender. Allah does not need to be a man or a woman. He does not need to create children, so he doesn't need to be a man or a woman. So, you know, but grammatically, the word Allah is referred to with the masculine pronoun huwa, as in he. But that doesn't mean that he's a man. That just means in the same way that a house has been chosen. It's been chosen that the house is masculine. It's been chosen that the word Allah is masculine too. And masculine, you know, it's also fitting that something which is genderless, like Allah, would take the masculine pronoun. Because, like, in Arabic, the rule, which is the first rule that I'll mention about gender, is that the default gender is masculine. Like, because sometimes you might ask about something and you might not know what gender it is. You know, you might want to go into a restaurant and say, you know, ma hadha, what is this? And you'll say hadha, the masculine, because you don't know what it is. You know, so the default gender, if you don't know what the gender is of something, is that it's masculine. And that obviously makes it a bit clearer to us as to why we use masculine for Allah. Good. Okay, so that's kind of a background of, you know, where gender actually comes from and a little bit about the nuances of how it's used in Arabic. So the default rule is that things are masculine unless you learn otherwise. So we're talking about nouns here, really. At the end of this episode, I will kind of get into how you can tell if a verb is feminine or masculine and some of the signs of something being feminine or masculine. But, just right now, we'll just talk about how nouns, you know, how things, how we can tell that they're feminine, because there are a number of ways. So the default is that any word that you hear is masculine, unless. So the first unless is if there's a ta marbuta at the end. I mean, the ta marbuta is the letter that looks like a teardrop with two dots on top. And the ta marbuta is sort of an amalgamation, if that's the right word, of the letter he and the letter te together. So it's the shape of a he, just of the letter he, but with two dots on top, just like the te. And its pronunciation, if you're pronouncing the harakat on it, is a te sound. But if it's on the end of an aya, or on the end of a sentence or something, then it would just be a he sound, because there's no need to pronounce the harakat on top of it. So, that's its pronunciation. The ta' madbuta, 99% of the time when you see a ta' madbuta, it's a feminine word. You know, so examples include the word sayaratun is a car. You can hear this tun on the end, that means that it's feminine. The word ghurfatun, a ghurfa is a room, which is also a feminine word. Mubaratun, which is a match, that's a feminine word. So the default is that they're feminine words, right? But the reason why I say 99% is because Arabic being Arabic will always have its exceptions. Because there are some where there are ta' madbutas on some words which are not feminine. You know, an example is a khalifa, khalifatun. The khalifa, the sort of the successor or the leader of the Muslim community, the khalifa, khalifatun, is never a woman. You know, it's a man, it's a masculine word, but it just happens to have a ta' madbuta on the end. And there are a number of names, like boys' names, which have a ta' madbuta on the end as well. I used to have a student who's coming back actually to do lessons with me called Hamza. The name Hamza has a ta' madbuta on the end. You would expect it to be a feminine word, but it's not. Hamza is exclusively a boy's name. And the opposite can also be true as well. You know, there are some words which do not have a ta' madbuta, but are feminine. So these include, you know, firstly, things which just by their meaning, they are obviously feminine. So for example, the word ummun, meaning a mother. You know, a mother is obviously feminine, right? So it doesn't need a ta' madbuta to make it clear to us. Also, the word bintun, a bint, does not have a ta' madbuta on the end, it just has a ta' on the end. Yeah, bintun means a girl. You know, it's obviously feminine, it's inherently feminine because of its meaning. And then also, you know, lastly, a sister, an ukht. Ukhtun is obviously a feminine word, right? Because it refers to a girl. So, 99% of the time, ta' madbuta means feminine, but there are some masculine words, very, very few, like literally a handful of masculine words which have a ta' madbuta on the end. And there are a handful of words which do not have a ta' madbuta on the end, but they're feminine. You know, just as I mentioned, words which are, because of their meaning, you know, sister, girl, mother. And then there's also words that are feminine. There's a short list of words sort of to do with nature, which are feminine. So for example, as-sama'u, the sky, sama'un, a sky, is feminine. Yeah, these words to do with nature, and the word al-ard, the earth, is feminine as well. So words to do with nature, and then the word rih as well, rih, meaning wind, narun, meaning fire, and another one, harb, harbun, which is a war, harb, is also a feminine word. So there's a small handful of these sort of words to do with nature, which are, nature and then fire and war, these words which are, you know, are feminine just because they are. You know, I know, like, when I was doing some research for this podcast, you know, I came across the fact that it's a very, very highly searched term on the internet about Arabic being sexist or Arabic being a sexist language. I know it's all very fashionable at the moment to talk about how these Muslimics are so sexist or whatever, but really that's really just a reflection of their own thoughts. You know, people who accuse that of the Arabic language, saying, oh, it must be sexist because the word for war and fire are feminine, that means it's sexist. Really, that's a reflection of their own. That's a reflection of their own sexist disposition. In Arabic, it's literally just a coincidence. I mean, also the word, you know, the word for the earth is feminine. You know, also the word for the sky is feminine. Like words that, things which are, you know, things which are awe-inspiring, things which are incredible, things that, you know, rih, the wind. Wind is what destroyed the entire nation of Ad. Like, rih is one of the most powerful elements on the planet, and that is feminine. So it's not to do with negative things being feminine, of course. Good, okay, so we've talked about two groups of things which are inherently feminine, but they do not express their femininity with a ta' madbuta. These words to do with nature, and then including fire and war, and then words which are obviously feminine because they mean mother or girl or sister. And the last group that I want to talk about are things which are, you know, in English I usually refer to it as non-human plural, but really what it is are things which are not God-conscious plural. So things which cannot be aware of Allah, the plural of those things. So inanimate things, I think we call it, or in Arabic it's غير عاقل. It's unconscious, unthinking. غير عاقل, I think is the term in the Arabic grammar books. So let me give you an example of this. So something which is not human, let's say for example a house. Houses are not humans. So the plural of houses, the word for a house is a baytun. Lots of houses is buyut. So whenever you use the word buyut, meaning houses, you will refer to it as feminine. You know, and that's it, yeah? Non-human plurals are feminine. So, yeah, if you refer to them using verbs, or you refer back to them, you know, using pronouns, then you will use the feminine ones to refer back to those. So you know, an implication of this is that the feminine plural is very, very rare. Using the feminine plural with verbs is incredibly rare. And in fact, I don't know if I've ever used it in conversation in my life. Because whereas the masculine plural in Arabic is used, can be used to refer to an entire group of both men and women, the feminine plural can only be used to refer to a group of specifically only women. And especially if you're a man, travelling around the Arab world, you will very rarely be in a room with just women. You know, that is something more that women, that's something more that women will learn. I mean, it's right that women, that men learn it too. I actually have a playlist of about 12 lessons on my YouTube channel, the Arabic with Sam YouTube channel, on conjugating verbs completely. And there's all the information in that on how to conjugate verbs into the feminine plural and, you know, the feminine and the masculine and whatever. Great. Okay. Great. So, absolutely. Something else I was going to say was the feminine plural, yeah, is very rare. But then in dialects, it's never used at all. You know, in dialects, what we call Amiya in Arabic, the feminine plural is, you know, definitely in Palestine and in Egypt, where I've studied extensively, it's never used at all. You just use the general masculine plural. Great. Okay, so I kind of, it's something that I didn't write down actually this point, but it is something that I'll touch on now, is, you know, when you, you know, if you're going to refer to a group of both men and women, you know, sometimes you might have a group that has both men and women in it. When you, for the collective, you use the masculine. So I came across a few examples of this the other day when I was reading with one of my students, and I thought I'd add this in as something at the end of the podcast, is, you know, so say, for example, in English, we have some gender-neutral words which are quite useful for groups of men and women. So, for example, we have the word siblings. You know, in Arabic, there isn't really a specific gender-neutral term for siblings. You know, in English, we can say siblings for both sisters and brothers. But in Arabic, what you would do is you wouldn't say brothers and sisters. You would just say your brothers. You know, ikhwani, it can mean my brothers, and it can also mean my siblings. Yeah, you don't need to say ikhwani wa akhawati, my brothers and my sisters. Just ikhwani, you know, is, you know, you can use the masculine plural to refer to a whole group of both men and women. And that's something shared in other languages too. Like, I know for a fact that Spanish does that. And then probably other, you know, Latin-based languages like Italian, French, Portuguese probably do it too. Great, yeah. So siblings is one. I did think of some others, but it is kind of a general rule that if you use the masculine plural, you say, for example, el muslimun, the Muslims, that can refer to female Muslims and male Muslims. You know, you would only ever point out that you're talking about a group of female Muslims too if you want to make it very clear, or you want to say something very specific about the fact that you're talking to Muslim men and Muslim women. You know, often Allah says in the Quran, el mu'minina wal mu'minat. You know, the believing men and the believing women, or al-Muslimuna wal-Muslimat, you know, and the Muslim men and the Muslim women. You know, often Allah will make it very clear that he's distinguishing them and he's talking about them separately. But really, you know, that's just part of Allah's rhetoric and Allah's eloquence. You know, for the meaning of talking about all of the Muslims, you could just say al-Muslimin. you know, but in the context of the Quran being revealed, you know, especially if you're talking about privileges or rights, if Allah had just revealed, you know, al-mu'mineen, the people at the time may have thought that it only referred to the men, you know, so Allah makes it very, very clear, you know, in context when it needs to be clear, obviously you can use both. Yeah, that's it. That's everything that I have. Everything that I have for gender for this lesson. I suppose just one last thing I will say is, just as the way that we demonstrate feminine words with a tetmad bota, you know, I said, for example, if we have the word Muslim, is a Muslim male, really. If we're talking about a Muslim female, we say Muslimatun. This etun on the end is the tetmad bota. That's kind of like a standard way of making something feminine. You know, that's how you do it with... That's how you do it with adjectives. And with nouns, obviously the word Muslim is a noun. For the feminine, it's etun. So you sort of just make your etun longer. You know, it's an elif and a ta. So, yeah, Muslimatun would be one Muslim female. Muslimatun would be lots of Muslim females. And generally a ta sound, like in Arabic, in the Arabic grammar books, there is the concept of ta'nith, the ta of making things feminine, and that is for verbs, really, like when verbs are being used. I have referenced you guys, I'll link it up in the show notes as well for this podcast, that there is a playlist on my YouTube channel on how to conjugate verbs fully in both past, present, and in future, and in plural, and for the feminine and the masculine. So there is a whole series on that you can go to, and you can learn from that, inshallah. Yeah, so the ta sound generally is the point that I'm ending on, is ta is associated generally with being feminine. Yeah, and that's a load of little facts all organized together for you on using gender in the Arabic language. So that is everything for this podcast. Of course, go into the show notes as usual, have a little look at where else you can listen to this podcast, if there are other platforms you'd rather listen to it on, and obviously you can watch it on YouTube as well. I put the podcast tracks up on YouTube as well, if you prefer to watch over there. And if you have any recommendations for suggestions for podcasts or anything else I can help you with, please go over to my website, arabicwithsam.com, or you can just hit me up directly on email, arabicwithsam@gmail.com, and then, you know, check out the show notes. I've got the links to my Instagram, my Facebook, and everything like that. Make sure you stay in touch. Make sure you're learning Arabic. Make sure you get in touch with me if I can help you with anything else. I bid you guys farewell for now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.